Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, Associate Editor of PC, and I'm here with Julian Upton, PharmCom's Editor-in-Chief. We are pleased to be joined by David Sanders, Vice President of Government Affairs and Policy at Coherus Biosciences, a commercial stage biopharma company that provides biosimilar therapeutics. Today, among various items in the agenda, he'll be diving into Coherus' mission when it comes to assisting the patients and the value that the business sees in manufacturing on American soil. David, thank you so much for taking the time to join Julian and I on the show today. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Looking at some of the company literature, one of the Coherus' goals is focused around expanding patient access to important, cost-effective medicines and delivering savings to the US health system. So I wonder if you could just start by telling us how your company is actually working towards that.
So our company was created by Denny Lanfear about 11 years ago after the passage of PPACA, of Obamacare, because inside of Obamacare was a bill I worked on at that time, which expanded access to biosimilars, created a pathway for a biosimilar to be approved by the FDA, and also created a payment mechanism for Medicare. So this company was really created on the backs of that law, and purposefully over the course of the first 6 or 7 years had a lot of decisions to make about where it was going to manufacture its first product, and decided to make the hard decision and the right decision to do the manufacturing here in America. So Coherus was created, again, 11 years ago. Our first drug was approved in 2019 as a biosimilar to Neulasta and was a very successful launch. In fact, it was the most successful biosimilar launch for its first year among all of the 23 biosimilars that have been approved in this country. And it was successful because we gained market share. We launched the drug at 30% below the reference product price, and were able to immediately begin delivering for the system, for the patients, and for Medicare as well. So that was our first launch. That's our one approved product on the market now, and it's led to about $2 billion of Medicare savings since its launch in 2019.
Other than your involvement in Coherus, of course, you are also the executive director of Securing America's Medicines and Supply, which is a coalition of companies aiming to strengthen the security of the U.S. medical supply chain. So for the listeners, could you elaborate on the mission and the work of the coalition itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So actually going back another 10, 11 years, actually longer than that, we had a crisis in this country with tainted heparin. It's a blood thinner. It was tainted. It was produced, manufactured in China. And at that time, Congress delved into it, investigated. The New York Times did a huge investigatory piece, Wall Street Journal. And the conclusion really by Congress was we need foreign inspections of drug product. And that was a good conclusion. And Congress went on a few years later to change the law. I viewed this pandemic in the same light. This was an opportunity for us to take a hard look at our medical supply chain, at the strategic national stockpile, and at, frankly, the state of affairs in pharmaceutical and biopharmaceutical manufacturing. And I think, frankly, it's an opportunity for us to turn around the status quo and to change the fact that most manufacturing has been moving abroad for the last 30 years. You know, again, I said earlier that we made the hard decisions to manufacture with partners here. We've got a proud partnership with KBI Biopharmaceutical in Boulder, Colorado. We have a great partnership with Emergent BioSolutions to do our finish fill in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're proud of that. And we're going to do that again and again and again on as many of our products as we can. But to make a business decision in the area of pharmaceutical law, especially when half of your market is Medicare and government reimbursement, you really need more certainty from the government in the form of contracts and in the form of Medicare reimbursement if you're going to make these hard decisions to do all your manufacturing in America. And we've seen good examples in the past of tax regimes, including Puerto Rico and Ireland, that incentivize manufacturing in those areas. We want to see the same thing done here. So I think it starts with tax law. it graduates into contract law. And I think the newsworthy piece of what we're pushing from SAMS is that it should also be taken into account when it comes to Medicare. You know, we have Buy American provisions at the VA and DOD. The problem is that the government has looked the other way and not enforced those provisions. So we'd like to see enforcement of existing law, but we'd like to see an expansion of reform when it comes to Medicare so that Medicare can at least recognize and reward high quality products made here, whether they're made by a foreign company or not.
So that explains the mission really well. I just wonder if we could dig down a little bit to what Coherus's involvement in that coalition is, and how as a biotech company you can help achieve that mission.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, look, we essentially created the coalition because we did not really see a policy solution and a consensus building coalition in the market as it exists now. Whether you're talking about pharma or bio or any other coalition, we didn't see many people in the summer of 2020 and all the way through the winter of 2020, we didn't see many people talking about this. And so that's why we created it. We found some great partners in Teva Pharmaceuticals and AmerisourceBergen, major distributor, of course, major generic. Actually, Teva, it's a little bit of an undertold story. Teva is the largest generic pharmaceutical company made in America. So in terms of the generics made here, they're the number one. Amneal Pharmaceuticals is probably number two or three. They've joined us recently. And we've got some other medical products and distributors. We've got iRemedy Health. iRemedy Health joined the coalition because they've experienced the over-reliance on Chinese manufacturing when it comes to needles and syringes. iRemedy did the deal with Operation Warp Speed for 1 billion needles and syringes, which is how we are all able to get vaccinated here in this country. So those needles and syringes were made in China. That's the only place they are made, basically. So they see the need for policy change and a boosting of American supply and allies supply. And so that's why we got it started. You know, we're a small biotech, again, about 350 employees. We have 350 employees over at KBI Biopharma, so about 700 people only, about $300 million of revenue. But we have four products in the pipeline. And so the next 4 years will be a growth period for Coherus. And frankly, it's a virtuous cycle of a business model. It's literally set up to deliver savings and access for each product. So we're going to repeat the story of Udenica again and again. And right now, there's no mechanism to be rewarded for saving the government money. So we want to see that changed.
Definitely. And David, I know you did start getting into it with the syringes and everything like that. But are there any other tangible results that you've seen from your work with SAMS so far that you could elaborate on too? And if you want to get more into some other.
Yeah, I think tangible results. I wouldn't say that SAMS, you know, made this happen, but SAMS created an environment to support the executive orders out of the Biden administration on Made in America, to support the new precedent setting Medicare rule a few weeks ago that said that hospitals should pay more for an American made N95 mask. So these are between the executive orders, some of the rhetoric coming out of CMS, some of the goals that CMS and CMMI have combined with tangible changes in law, like the N95, these are indications that we are beginning as a government to make the changes necessary to increase production of critical supplies, PPE, and medical products and pharmaceutical products. So, you know, then secondarily, I would say that a couple of weeks ago, Senator Tina Smith, Senator Tom Cotton, along with partners in the House, Representative Mark Wade Mullen and Representative Angie Craig, introduced a bill called the American-Made Pharmaceuticals Act. And this bill would direct CMS to create a demonstration program in 8 states, at least. And it would direct CMMI or CMS to create these mechanisms for recognizing and rewarding American-made products. So we think that bill is a great summation of our intentions to help increase or to help change Medicare law temporarily in order to test out, you know, a mechanism for increasing production of American-made pharmaceuticals. So that, I think that's another indication of the success of what SAMS stands for And there are other examples as well. We've worked really heavily with various partners on the Made in America Act, which is the tax incentive bill from Tim Scott and Representative Buddy Carter from Georgia and some others. We're really excited about that bill as well.
So you've touched on that virtuous cycle, which is interesting, and the plans of the next three, four years and the regulatory support there. But just want to talk about how realistic is it to remain committed to American made as you expand, as a program expands or as a company expands, if things get very big, you know, it's very tempting to get some cheap supplies, right? Cheaper supplies. So I just wonder how you see that being able to secure that commitment, you know, to American made.
You're right. It's going to be a challenge. And, you know, we're going to have four or five products over the next 5 years at Coherus, but we want to make all those products here. Now, in the beginning, we actually have a novel cancer drug program that is born out of a partnership with Zhongxi in Shanghai. And so we are proud of that partnership. We will begin our manufacture of that product in China, but we are committed to moving tech transfer, that manufacturing program, to America as soon as possible. So it is a challenge, but we believe it's the right thing to do, even if it costs more. And we're looking towards the Medicare market as well as the commercial markets to create the sort of certainty needed to make those investment decisions now. You know, we've done it a couple of times, frankly, on Udenica. We could have produced Udenica anywhere. We decided again and again to produce Udenica with our partner KBI Bio in Colorado. So I do think it's a combination of the three things we talk about at SAMS. It's a combination of contract law. It's a combination of potentially non-dilutive grants, which this government is indicating an openness to. And then thirdly, trying to do something in Medicare to reward a physician who chooses to write a prescription for a high quality American made product. And so I think there's another bill out there we've taken a hard look at from Senator Coons. I guess it's called the Industrial Development Finance Bank, which is really a fascinating idea about the government creating an industrial bank that partners with private industry to increase domestic production of everything from semiconductors to healthcare products. So we like that idea. It's actually an outgrowth of the Development Finance Corporation, which the previous administration created. And I think it would be a good way for government to indicate to the market that they're investing in an increase of domestic supply. And I believe that Senator Coons' staff is correct when they say that private capital and private industry will follow if you start that way. So we're looking at that as another option for non-dilutive or for loan regimes.
That's certainly interesting, David. Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see how these pending legislations turn out, because if they do get passed, it's no doubt that it's going to make a splash when it comes to down the road and perhaps other companies joining this SAMS coalition as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, it will be. You know, I sort of view this year as critical. Obviously, the public health emergency is still a problem. You know, COVID subvariants of Omicron are still swirling. I was at a business meeting in California, and 4 out of the 11 people in the meeting ended up getting COVID. So this is still a real thing. I recognize, and we're realistic about the potential end to the public health emergency, but we believe that it's Congress's duty and the administration's commitment to continue to make changes for this pandemic and for future pandemics.
We shall see what happens. But David, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on the podcast today. We really do appreciate the time.
Thanks for the opportunity. It was great to meet you too. And let me know if I can ever do anything to help you or introduce you to any of our member companies at SAMS.
Absolutely. And for all you listeners, be sure to stay in the loop of our latest updates via our website at pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or on our SoundCloud page. Take care, everyone.